Hey, Hound Dogs, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And welcome to On the Air with Power Squared, a weekly look behind the scenes, what we hope will be everyone's favorite comic book, Power Squared. This week, we have a special guest, Kat Kalamea, who currently has a Kickstarter going, and amongst other things. So we'll talk more about her to her about that. Do you want to tell people who don't know who you are a little bit about yourself?
Of course. So yeah, Kat Kalamea. Most people know me as Comic Inno. I do YouTube reviews weekly on my channel. I've been doing that for about a decade. I write for Newsarama, DC Universe, DC Comics, DC Universe. I've written for IGN, Fandom, TV Guide. So I've been, I've done the rounds. And I also write a comic like Father Like Daughter, which has a Kickstarter right now. It's about a high school girl. Father left her to become a full-time superhero. Everyone in the world loves him, except for her. And then she inherits his abilities. I also write another book. They call her a dancer. That's an add-on to the campaign if you want to go check that out as well. But yeah, all about the Kickstarter this month, which is great. It's doing well. We're not even halfway done through it, which is kind of cool, but also like it's kind of daunting as well, because it's just it goes by so quickly, but also goes by so slowly.
Yes,
so
yes.
Just excited to get the book in people's hands.
Cool. So related to your Kickstarter, we met through a Facebook group where you were asking for people to. For indie comics that you could use as part of your Kickstarter, right?
We have a lot of indie comics on the Kickstarter. If you just back it up for $1, you get 8 indie comics, and we're like $100 and something away from unlocking your book and 9 others. So you're getting already 17 books, and then as we get more backers unlocked, you actually get even more books. So we've already unlocked Super Heresies and Red Knight, and we're getting closer to the 250 backer unlocking, which is Tart Volume 1, which is multiple issues. So just backing up for $1, you get so many comics, which is really exciting.
Yeah. Well, we backed your Kickstarter for the $40 catch-up so we can get all the 7 issues.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. We can't have you on the show and talk about Kickstarter and not have backed it. So.
I appreciate you catching up. I'm very, very excited for you guys to read it.
Yeah, we are too. So how did you decide, since we have a vested interest, how did you decide which comic books to have initially, which to hold back, and how did you make that decision?
Honestly, it was a really hard decision. So some of the backer versions were the backer, I guess, unlocking the ones that are like 100, 150. Those were on previous campaigns, but since we've had newer backers, it was easier to use it as backer unlockings instead of using it as the indie bundle. And the others, honestly, it was a very hard decision. It was people that I was personally knew a little bit more were the ones that kind of end up going into the indie bundle, the regular indie bundle. Mm-hmm. And then the other people, I'm glad that we were able to meet through the group, that end up being the unlocking. And I really try to mix it as much as I could. But that's kind of how I figured it. It was a hard choice, but hopefully again, $200 unlocking, we'll get all these books.
Yeah, I was initially a little disappointed. I was like, hey, what happened? But you explained it. It's fine. I'm not holding a grudge. So tell us about Like Father, Like Daughter. You gave a little introduction there, but how long have you been doing this comic book?
I've been doing this for 5 years, believe it or not. So I actually ended up being a screenplay originally. I wrote for school. I got my master's ever since then. I went to college, it was a college course. And I remember sitting at my desktop, and I was doing reviews for about 5 years at that point. I said, I really want to make this into a comic, and I made it into a comic. Every issue, try to make it better and better. I think issue 7's a really good one, and really drove me into kind of the comic book writing career that I have. And I went for my master's for TV writing, and a big aspect of TV writing is to build up your IPs, or a good way and avenue get into TV writing is to have your own IPs. So already it was kind of hitting two birds with one stone by doing something I love with writing comics and also building up your portfolio for TV writing.
Yeah. Okay. How did you put your team together? Just curious.
Yeah, so 5 years ago, I actually worked for a publisher called Short Fuse Media. Ever since issue 6, I've been working on my own just because we had some creative differences and a different direction for the book. So, but we're all still very good friends, and Mike Watson's print is actually the next unlocking for the stretch goal, and he's the editor-in-chief of that company. But anyway, so I made a video on my YouTube channel saying, hey, I'm looking for an artist, and they end up contacting me and say, hey, we could be your publisher. And we work together, find letterer, colorist, artist. As of right now, the only one who's been since issue 1 is our artist, which is Wayne Brown. He's been there since issue 1. And issue 6, I did end up changing the letterer and colorist with some of my really good friends. So Brant Fowler, one of my very good friends, also has a Kickstarter going on right now for Last Ember. He is the letterer for my book.
Plug in if you want to.
Yeah, no, of course. I have to plug in his Kickstarter. He letters my book. And also his wife colors my book, Lisa Moore. And we've been friends for a very long time. It's been years and years. Honestly, it's 2013, I think we've been friends. So it's been a very long time.
Oh. Yeah, we've gone through, we're up to issue number 10, actually, which is coming out on Wednesday for our own plug. And we've gone through a couple of artists and several colorists just as a course of nothing we've done. Well, we changed artists on purpose, but the colorists have just sort of had come and gone. Nothing we've done, I don't think.
No.
We're great to work with. But anyway, all right. So what was your inspiration for the book?
My inspiration, I would say just reading comics all my life. It really culminates what I love about comics. And around that time, the New 52 was going on. It felt like there wasn't a lot of family stories, not a lot of character-driven stories from Marvel or DC. I think Marvel was very event-driven. Not that they aren't still, but very event-driven at that point, even more so. And I really wanted something just to ground the stories and ground superheroes again, which is kind of how Like Father, Like Daughter was birthed.
Okay. Does that have anything to do with your own relationship with your father or anything like that? Or is that anything?
No, my dad did not lead me to become a superhero.
No, but I mean, it's just curious.
Yeah, no, we have a really good relationship. He actually is the one who got me into comics. It's interesting because I get that question a lot. And I'm happy to say we have a good relationship. And I always say, yeah, he's the one who got me into comics. He's the one who read Superman comics to me when I was a kid. But I try to write the emotions as much as possible, even if it's something I haven't experienced. It's part of writing.
So do you have a favorite comic book or comic books that you like?
Yeah. Well, I read about 15 to 20 comics a week. So it's always hard to pick because there's always a new favorite every year. And when you read a lot of comics, like, oh man, you don't want to leave people out. But all-time favorite comic, Spider-Girl from Tom DeFalco. I've always been a huge fan of that. That's a comic that made me want to become a writer. So that's definitely my all-time favorite.
Okay. Anything else you would recommend?
Oh, people? I mean, yeah, there's so many. Yeah. I mean, currently we could talk about some Boom Studios books. Red Mother is really good. I've been enjoying that. Seven Secrets has been really good. Some old Image books like Revival is good. American Vampire from Vertigo is great. Those are some of my favorites. I love Paper Girls. That's becoming a TV show soon. Fan of Ms. Marvel, fan of Spider-Gwen, like the Valkyrie series that was currently going on, the Jane Foster stuff, from DC, a big Stephanie Brown fan. So I love the Batgirl, Stephanie Brown. I love the Bat family in general. Jeff Johns' Teen Titans is really good. There, long, long laundry list of great comics out there.
All right. Any questions for?
No.
Okay. I want to keep you from asking. So you also write another comic book?
Yes, I do. So they call her a dancer. It's about a young woman. She's a dancer/assassin. And when she was little, she witnessed her parents being murdered in front of her, never dealt with that trauma until now. We have two issues out of that right now. Black and White, we're actually pitching this around. We're in talks with the company to get it published. So we're coloring all the issues, and hopefully issues 1 through 4 will be out soon. It's actually pretty much all done besides the coloring. So it's just all about when a company can say yes or not. And yeah, just waiting on that yes to get published.
Okay, good. So is Like Father, Like Daughter published by someone, or you're doing it yourself, or how's it work?
So yeah, so originally it was published by Short Fuse Media, like I was saying before, but with issue 6, I decided to go on my own and publish it myself. So it's a self-published book completely for Like Father, Like Daughter since issue 6.
Okay. And the Kickstarter is helping you keep it going, or helping?
I would say that luckily we've been in a good spot where the Kickstarter helps us have the funds, but it's also a great place to find a profit, find a new audience. And I would say online sales have been doing well. And then when Comic-Cons get back, that's also a good backbone of the series doing well. But yeah, Kickstarter, once we meet that funding goal, really funds the whole book, which is really great. So we're already funded for issue 7 with 18 days left. So really excited to just raise that backer count.
And we appreciate the fact that, I mean, we're hoping that people will read Power Squared number 1 and be interested and continue on.
Yeah, of course.
The exposure from your Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's definitely the whole point of doing the indie bundle is trying to get people to get into other Kickstarters. I say, like, you're getting 20-something books. Like, I'll give you your dollar back if you hate all of them. You're going to like at least one of them, it's a great opportunity for someone to find their new favorite, which I really wanted to do, and I'll continue to do every campaign.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's really cool, actually. We were thinking, we did a Kickstarter this time last year.
Yeah.
Not knowing what the hell we were doing, and we did fund it, but it was a really good idea. Your idea of bringing other people into it was good. I hadn't thought of that. We were just figuring out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, have you read the Power Square that we submitted, or?
Not yet. It's been busy. So
what the heck? Might as well ask.
Yeah. Once everything's done, I'll read the pile of all the books I got from Kickstarter and all that. Work's been keeping me busy as well. So, like I said before, I work for Newsrama and I do weekly reviews. So, always have a huge pile to read. But I'm excited to jump in after this Kickstarter is done. I'll have a little bit more free time to read it.
We will want to hear what you have to say about it. So you'll have to get back to us. So you talked about doing other things like Newsrama and all that. So you want to talk about that part of your?
Yeah, sure. So in college, I went to school for journalism and communications. So communications kind of umbrella term for entertainment, which is why I got my master's in TV writing, because I wanted to be more writing focused. But I did journalism. That was like kind of my main thing. I went out of college. I'm like, what do I do now? So what I had the most experience in was journalism and comic books. So I actually went to Newsrama and I asked their editor, are you looking for anybody? You know, I just graduated. I would love to, you know, this is my YouTube channel. I would love to work for you guys. And they said, you know, we do have an opening in our reviewing section of the website. I'm like, cool. So I reviewed comics for them. I believe it was that year I went to San Diego Comic-Con for my own outlet. I did it for Comic Uno. And they said, oh, you're going to San Diego. Would you like to do some coverage for us? I'm like, yeah, sure. This was a couple of years back. And that's kind of how I started to do more interviews with them and get more of a it's not a full-time position because I am a freelancer, but more of a consistent freelancer full-time position, if that makes any sense. Right. So I do consistent work for them. And I have a set number of articles I do for them every month. So I was able to do that through working with them for so many years. And what I do for them is interviews pretty much. I mostly do DC interviews for them just because that's the beat they put me on. But also I do some Marvel interviews. I do some indie interviews, mostly mainstream indie interviews. I've done some really awesome features I've had the opportunity to do. I did Kitty Pryde's Bisexuality just recently. And then I did a Kickstarter a Kickstarter article as well, where I talked about the big names going into Kickstarter. Is this a good thing or a bad thing for Kickstarter? So it's really nice of how flexible I've been able to utilize my journalism muscles at Newsrama. I love working for them. I love everyone that works there. So it's been a great venture, and it continues to be a great venture. In DC Universe, there's been a lot of great people too working for DC Comics. That's awesome. And just talk about their library. And I love the editors I worked with. I love the other freelancers that work there. So it's been a lot of fun.
What are you actually doing for DC Universe?
So I write articles for, it kind of features, I would say. So I could write like, oh, five reasons you should read Batman White Knight, five female characters that appeared in the early 2000s. So it's more of like different topics within their library that I get to chat about.
Okay. Where are you based?
New York.
Okay. So it's a big city. So So you've been doing, as you said earlier, reviews on your own for like the last decade, right?
Yes.
On your YouTube channel. Do you want to tell people what that is?
Yeah. So you check me out at Comic Uno. I post reviews every Wednesday. I do my best comics of the week. So the books I read for my haul, I rank them of what I enjoy the most. At Comic Uno, I try to do two videos a week. So usually like a topic that spins out of the comics, I'll do a video for that too. I do Loud House reviews because that does well, and I enjoy the show. I have a wide variety of content on the channel, but mostly in always every week, I'll have the best comics of the week.
Now I saw you did when this was from, but you did something about Kickstarters as well.
Yeah, so every month I'll do top 10 Kickstarters. So, Kickstarters are mostly people I don't know. That way I'm not biased. I will give shout outs to, friends, because there's always a friend that has a Kickstarter going on when you're part of the comic book community. So I'll give them a shout out. But of people I don't know and what I personally am interested in, it's the top 10. Because I do get a lot of people who, like, ask me, oh, well, can I be featured on the channel? Can I do this and that? And I feel like that's kind of unfair. So I really try to, I'll consider it. Like, thank you for giving my attention. But about a couple of days before I do the video, I look through the whole comic section. And in my personal opinion, my subjective opinion, is the top 10 Kickstarters that I'll back, most likely back, and that I'll most likely enjoy.
What attracts you to a Kickstarter in particular?
I would say mostly the story and the art. And also you could kind of tell when someone's been doing it for a while or someone just slapped it together in a minute, I have seen Kickstarters where there's no images or there's no preview and it's like, I don't know what I'm buying. Yeah. Or the prices are really expensive, or like you could just kind of tell that they haven't been doing it for a while. So that's kind of a mark off if you kind of see that, or the art's kind of unattractive, or the presentation's unattractive.
Yeah.
But mostly I would say the story, even if like the page doesn't look perfect, but the story really grabs me. That's number one. So the log line that they usually have on the bottom, like, oh, that sounds cool, I'll look at the Kickstarter more. But also, I think just like anything, it's the thumbnail. It's like, that's going to be the number one thing that attracts you. Like, well, does that look cool? And if it does, it'll make me click on it and read more. And not that I try not to click on all of them, but there's 300 projects. I only click on the ones that look interesting.
Right.
And I'll be like, all right, cool. I'll put this on the list. And then I'll organize it all. And it's mostly how I end up doing it.
Okay. So I noticed that, I don't remember where I saw this, and it was in connection with your Kickstarter with all these people writing, telling how good you were. One of them was Gail Simone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we had actually named a character after her in one of our stories, but we don't know her, like, apparently, but it was interesting. It's like, oh, wait, it was kind of interesting for me. Do you have any questions for us?
Sure. What I wish I was more prepared. This is like my job. I would have had questions with me.
Kind of look this up. I'm just saying.
No. Yeah, I should have. But you said you're doing a Kickstarter.
We did last
previously.
Year,
yeah. Yeah, what was that experience like for you?
It was kind of scary, actually, because you put it out, you don't want it not to fund. So it was kind of like, you know, and we have arguably a very small fan base, but it was just like, you know, hopefully it will, you know, we want to make sure it funded, and it did. But it was just, it was a little nerve wracking, I think.
Yeah.
You guys helped put it together.
Yeah. And after it was over, we actually did a video on our YouTube channel where we talked about where we thought we could have improved on it.
Yeah. It was, yeah. So it was.
Would you guys do it again, you feel, or was it a venture that wasn't worth it?
I would think it would be nice to do it again. It's nice to have some money in the bank related to the comic book. I think we could do another one, but it probably won't be, we need to be better prepared, I think, than we were.
Yeah.
You know, we spent a lot of time working on it, but we were just sort of, again, kind of flying blind a little bit.
Yeah. I think to the things where we said we could have done better were like a better funding goal, like lower it to something that's more achievable, and then also like actually build up the hype a little more.
Right.
Like play the long game on that.
Yeah. So how
do you guys usually market?
Through social media, and we have a newsletter that we put out, and we do videos on our channel, but yeah, we're not good at the marketing part of it, I think. I think our story is, as we've been doing it now for several years, we think it's getting better, and we're learning more about the craft, obviously. But yeah, the marketing is sort of not there. We just kind of don't know what we're doing.
Well, I wish you guys luck. I think it's all a journey, you know, a journey to learn and, you know, talking to other people is always important. Like you guys are doing with your YouTube channel. So,
we're trying to play the long game. You know, we're not trying to go for instant success after 10 issues.
Yeah.
Working on issue 16 at the moment. So we have a backlog to go through.
Yeah.
It's a fun experience. You know, the Paul and his twin brother Trevor and I kind of created it together, and it has to do with twins. So it's kind of, you know, kind of hits home a little.
So which one? So you guys, you're the twin. I'm a twin as well. So that's small world. Yeah.
Paul is a twin and Trevor's the twin. Trevor's his brother.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Our letter.
Oh, nice. So it's a whole, I'm a fraternal twin. So a minute apart.
They're identical a minute apart.
Well, there you go, man. Yeah. Small world.
It is. Do you ever do anything with your twin sister?
So I have a twin brother.
Oh, brother,
not comic book wise. Like we actually did a web show back in the day when he was in college and when I was in college. But now he lives in South Carolina and is a TV weatherman. So we don't do it that much.
Hard to mix the two.
Exactly. He's not into comics as much, but he's a very supportive brother and. He supports my ventures and I support his ventures as I do not like palm trees or you know, I can't say I don't like the weather. Everyone likes the weather in summer garb. I don't like the weather to his extent. So we both support each other.
That's true. Okay. Anything else you want to talk to her about?
I don't know if you've been asked this before, but related to reading comics, have you read any manga?
There's different genres I enjoy in manga. I use manga and like web comics as escapism, which is weird because the other comics I read, like I think for most people is escapism, but it's work for me. So I still love comics. And obviously, even when I do work, I love comics. But like it is nice to use entertainment as escapism in some way.
Yeah.
So I'll use manga and like web comics more as that because I never relate it to work and I'll enjoy that.
Are there any in particular that you like right now?
Some mangas? Yeah, I like the Assassination Classroom. I'm not into the mainstream mangas as much. I kind of like the LGBTQ mangas a bit more. Again, total escapism. Like, okay, this is nothing like I read. Because I think with mangas, you could have the action-y, you could have whatever. So, like, I'll tend not to go towards the action-y as much. I'm like, oh, okay, because this is, like, work. So I'll try to go outside the box of something I don't normally read in comics. And yeah, web comics, but anything that really catches my eye, if it's a cool concept, like again, Assassination Classroom was a cool concept. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to read that. And I read, you know, I watched the anime for that. So I try to keep my palette pretty diverse.
All right. It's funny. We're actually watching the, dub of Assassination Classroom on Toonami.
It's good. It's one of my friends are just watching it now for the first time. It's been a while since I've seen it, but it's I like it. It's a good anime.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You want to plug your Kickstarter one more time?
Yeah. You can go check out the Life Follow Like Daughter Kickstarter over at Kickstarter. You know, back it up as low as a dollar. You guys get Powered Squared and hopefully Powered Squared if meet $150 more, which I'm pretty confident we will by the end of the campaign. We've got 18 days left.
Yeah, you're doing really well.
Thank you. So back up the Kickstarter. Find me at Comic Uno on Twitter. That's the best place to find me. Okay. And my YouTube channel is Hayden Claire Heroes or Comic Uno. You can find me there as well.
Okay. You want to do the outro?
Sure. If you are watching this on YouTube, if you like this, leave a like. Subscribe if you want to see more. Ring that notification bell if you want to see exactly when these videos go up.
So we want to thank you for being on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time. So until next week, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.